Lord bless each and every one this evening and give you a very warm welcome into the service. Just a couple of announcements. We're going to pray and then we're going to be seated because I want to read John 17. It's quite a lengthy portion, but the Lord bless each one. Keep in prayer John Deal. He's had an accident. Just pray the Lord will touch him and save him as well. And pray for Sharon as well. She's a real bad stomach pain tonight, and she wasn't able to come. And just pray the Lord will touch her as well. And William wasn't feeling too well either. Just pray the Lord will touch him, and any others as well. Praise God. I want to take for a text tonight, and I believe God's given me something to say tonight. It's for somebody, maybe for everybody, for all of us. The title of what I want to preach on tonight is Don't Just Stand There, Pray Something. And I want to deal with a saying that's in the world today that's false. And a lot of people says it, and it's false. And what it is, people say, it is what it is. It's a false saying. It doesn't have to be what it is. And I'm going to prove that from the Word of God tonight. From the words of Jesus himself. Let us come and pray tonight. And if you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord this evening. And we're going to pray. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have open access from your footstool into your very throne room and into your very presence because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Lord, we come tonight pleading the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb. And we would say with the hymn writer this evening, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Father, we approach you reverently and humbly tonight. And in through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray you'll forgive us every sin, every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed. Wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb. And we shall be whiter than the snow. Lord, we know if we walk in the light, as yours in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. Father, lift before you this evening John Deal. Pray in the name of Jesus Christ you'll touch him. Pray you'll give him strength. And Lord, cause the blood cells that need to come up to come up. And save him, Lord, in the name of the Lord. Touch Sharon as well. Touch William. For the hands raised in this room this evening, may you meet every single need in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, for the financial needs, for the need of a home, for guidance in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray for those seeking a job. Promote them in the name of Jesus Christ to pray for your glory. Now, Lord, we know your word is blessed. But we pray you'll stop upon it with your own divine approval by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. We welcome the Holy Spirit into this room. Amen. And into our lives, our beings afresh. Holy Spirit, have thy way. Fill us afresh as we take the Holy Ghost in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. This is a wonderful prayer of the Lord tonight, and there's three things in this prayer, and maybe not so much I want to go into them three things, but one of them is, it's a lesson for us, everyone. The Lord first of all prays for himself. Then he prays for the disciples. Then he prays for everyone that's going to believe, the church. So he starts out praying for himself. Remember, my Uncle John said to me many, many years ago as a young Christian, he says, you know, it's good to pray for other people, but you need to pray for yourself. And I believe that tonight, that every one of us needs to pray for ourselves as well as others. We need to pray for ourselves. Verse 1, these words speak Jesus, John 17. These words speak Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this life eternal, and this is life, this life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And the Bible tells us he is the beginning and creation of God. All things are made by him and for him, and without him wasn't anything made that was made. Then here he starts to pray for the disciples. Verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, those that thou gavest me. I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of a nation, Judas Iscariot, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through truth. Now he starts to pray for the believers, the church. Verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words. So the Lord is praying for all that will believe. Future. Amen. The prayer that you pray tonight, people, the devil wants you to think it's not answered. God didn't hear it. But God hears every single prayer that's prayed. Amen. And God wants you to pray. Why don't you stand up and pray someone? That's my text tonight. Amen. And maybe not a physical standing up, but within yourself, there has to come a time when you stand up in yourself and pray to God and believe God. Amen. This is the greatest weapon that God's given the church, is prayer. Prayer. And intercessory prayer is a thing that's lost today. And also tongues is a thing that's lost today. And tongues is a powerful weapon of prayer. And very few people speak in tongues, and they don't realize the dynamic effect tongues have, because the devil doesn't know what you're praying. That's the tongue of man, and there's the tongue of angels. Celestial and celestial tongues. There's different tongues. Diversity is a gift. And I believe tongues are a great weapon. Prayer means that I never have to say there's nothing I can do. That's what prayer means. The devil wants you to think there's nothing you can do but your case. The devil wants you to think there's nothing you can do but your children. But you can pray something. Amen. That can change their destiny. Amen. Jesus prayed something that changed the destiny of every single one of us that's in here. The Lord prayed for us. Because he says he did. Because he says, I pray for all them that thou givest me. And remember, no man can come unto me except my Father draweth him, and no man can know me save to him whom the Son will reveal him. We don't come to God, God comes to us. God comes seeking man, just like in Genesis. God said, Adam, where are you? And God sought us, everyone that's in this room. And just as Jesus prayed, we need to pray. We need to pray for our loved ones to be saved. We need to believe God. We need to stand up and pray something. This is a weapon, the Christian, a secret weapon that God's given the church, a weapon that's been neglected badly, is prayer. Not many people have time to attend a prayer meeting. You know, there's lots of meetings tonight, and I don't want to condemn them. There's meetings going on all over this country this evening, but there's very few intercessory meetings. There's very few prayer meetings. And you'll never get a crowd that'll run to the prayer meeting and fall under the knees and seek God for an hour. You'll not get that. But people will go to hear testimonies, and many times that's good, but many times it's just something to tickle their ears about. And many times people get people to share their testimonies and they want to hear all the badness they've done. And you know, a lot of times the devil's glorified, but Christ's not. A testimony's not to glorify sin. A testimony's to glorify Jesus that brought you out of sin. That's what a testimony's about. The devil wants you to think there's nothing I can do, but I always can do something, something great. And Jesus did something great. He prayed for you. He prayed for them disciples and he prayed for you. And you know, he even prayed for Peter. And you know, there's another scripture said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. And not only did he pray for him, and not only did he tell him that, he prophesied his destiny over him. And he said, Peter, when you're converted, you'll strengthen my brethren. And we know on the day of Pentecost that's fully come, that the Holy Ghost came on Peter and he stood up and he preached the Pentecostal sermon. Amen. Hallelujah. He recognized the scriptures from the book of Joel that it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that he'd pour out his spirit in his sons and his daughters. Peter recognized it. And he preached a mighty sermon and the place was shaken and the Holy Ghost came on them and tongues of fire rested on them.
Amen.
That was a real Pentecostal meeting there.
Amen.
You can pray something. Never let the devil want you to think you're not worthy to pray. The devil wants you to think that you haven't had a good enough week to pray. You've disappointed God. That's how the devil works. The Bible tells us in Revelation he is an accuser of the brethren. But Jesus has made you worthy, brother. Jesus has made you worthy, sister. He's washed you in his blood, and he says here, you are sanctified through the truth. And Christ is truth. We all need to discover prayer is a secret weapon of the kingdom of God. It's a secret weapon. It is like a missile, a mighty missile that can be fired towards any spot in the earth. It can travel undetected at the speed of thought, and it hits a target every time. It never misses. The devil wants you to think your prayer missed and God didn't hear it. That's a lie. There's a wee woman many years ago when I was starting out and preaching, and she's went on to be with the Lord, and Mrs. Jones she was, and she said to me, Tommy, one night, she says, you know, I was down at the prayer meeting, but they're not praying right. She said, the young ones don't know how to pray. And I said, Mrs. Jones, what do you mean? And she says, they don't address the Lord right. She says, there's a way to approach God. You don't come to God and preach him a sermon. He doesn't need one. You need to come to the Lord through the provided way. And Jesus Christ is that provided way. And there's only one man we can call Father. And we come to our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. We approach him through the red field of the cross. And she said, you know, your prayers are never wasted. God keeps a vase in heaven. And every prayer goes into it. But she says, one day when it's filled, God will begin to pour them out. I want to tell you this evening that Sharon, my wife's grandmother, she started with a free piece, but then she became a Pentecostal.
Amen.
She locked herself in the roof space and God filled her with a baptism of the Holy Ghost and she spoke in tongues.
Amen.
And she was a woman of prayer. And she prayed for Charlie and she prayed for Agnes and she prayed for Anna. And she never saw any of them see, not a one of them. And she's passed away. She went on to be with the Lord. She wouldn't even take a tablet. She believed in healing. She wouldn't even take a tablet. And she died young with a heart attack.
because you wouldn't even take a tablet. Now, I'm not saying whether it was right or wrong, but God bless her anyhow for what she believed and stood for. But I want to tell you one thing. Charlie and Billy, and there were six of them. There was her two daughters and her son. And one night with their wives, there were six of them together. They were not all married. And they listened to the tape, "How the Angel Came to Me" by William Branham. And every one of them got saved that night. And Billy's a pastor, and Charlie's a pastor, and Roger was a pastor as well. God answered her prayers. Though she never saw it, God answered her prayers. And God answers your prayer. Never think that God has not answered your prayer. Never think that nothing's took place. God hears you and God answers you. The Bible says his ear is ever open to her cry. And his arm is not shortened. But he's able to save and deliver. It's like a missile. It can travel undetected and hit the target every time. It can even be armed with a delayed detonation. You say a delayed detonation, yes, in verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So those that weren't even there on the day that Jesus prayed that, they're saved today because the Lord prayed. And God answered that prayer. Everyone that will believe their words also will have it. That's what he's praying. And we need to pray for our children and our children's children. Levi paid tithes while he was still in the loins of his great-grandfather. How many knows that? And God blessed him. And we need to pray. This prayer of Jesus Christ spans centuries. That's what it spans. And embraces all who have believed or whoever will believe. That's how far this prayer spans. Every time someone turns to Christ, this prayer of Jesus Christ is answered again. 2,000 years later, this prayer is still being answered tonight. Every time somebody gets saved, this prayer has been answered. This is what the Lord prayed. Neither pray I for these, but I pray also for them that shall believe because of their words. We have a Bible here tonight. How many knows the disciples wrote this book? This book was written, holy men of God speak as ever moved by the Holy Ghost. Oh, that God would move us. That's what we need. We need moved by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The implications are staggering. We can pray about things yet to happen. We can pray about them. Things, for instance, in the lives of our children and their children. We can wrap them up in the arms of intercessory prayer and we can march them through hell and straight to heaven. We can claim them. Do you believe that? You can claim them and say they're not going to go to hell. They're going to go to heaven. I'm claiming them for God. I'm pleading the blood over them. I'm claiming them. I'm placing them in the arms of Jesus Christ. And believe it. Jesus is our example. As the Father sent me, so send I you. If there's ever a man you want to be like, it's the Lord. It's the Lord that we want to be like. Oh, hallelujah. This is the inheritance we can leave our children. Some of us mightn't be able to leave them a house or a mansion, but you can leave them an inheritance that you prayed for them to have, an inheritance in heaven that they're saved and born again. You can pray for it. And you can claim them. An inheritance of prayer. Prayer lifted to God long before the children were born. Prayers answered long before we are gone. God can do it. There's more, you know. Satan has no defense against this weapon. Amen. He's no defense. You can preach a word and the enemy can come in and sow discord amongst it. And you know, it says, it was not the good seed sown, and he says the good seed was sown, but while he slept, somebody else sowed another seed. And some seed fell in good ground, and some fell in stony ground. So there's all the different ground. But here's a weapon this evening that the devil can do nothing about, a weapon that's going to lift the church that's been attacked. I'm telling you tonight, he does not have the anti-prayer missile. He doesn't have it. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says this, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." Tongues is a gift that's attacked. It's attacked from every corner. And there's people today around the world and they say, "We're the bride of Jesus Christ. We're following the restored message." And yet they attack tongues and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they say they're all on the shelf and we don't need them. Other religious organizations call tongue faith. They attack it. They blaspheme against it. But I want to tell you tonight, it's a gift from God. And Paul the Apostle says, "Forbid not to speak with tongues." And I believe tongues is a mighty thing. John G. Lake was a mighty man of God. Everyone in here should know that. And if you've never read John G. Lake's life story, go and find it and read it. And John G. Lake said that speaking in tongues revolutionized his life as a believer. It revolutionized his life. You know, many times Lake would get before God and Wigglesworth the same, and they would pray in tongues, and God would give them the interpretation and they'd preach it to the church. And you know, the Bible says tongues are interpreted as the same as prophecy. But I like this, an unknown tongue. Isn't it wonderful when God gives a genuine unknown tongue? And only God can know it. And only somebody with a gift of interpretation from God can interpret it. And the Bible says, "Pray ye that you might interpret it." You know, I know everyone here knows about it, and I've told it before. And you know, when we think about it, things can become familiar and you think nothing of it. But I remember when my sister rang me and her son was trailed up the road behind the bumper of a car and his head bounced like a football. And the sister ran to get help. And when the man came, he was already passed out and he did the mark. He brought him round to get the ambulance. And my sister rang me to come to the hospital, and I went to the hospital. And the nurses were there and everybody was there. And to look at that young man, you would have said, "There's no way he can live. There's no way he can survive." And everybody was saying that. And I went in to pray for him and I could not pray one word in English. Not a word. And I just prayed in tongues. And the nurses didn't know what to think. But I didn't care one bit less. I knew I was in the Spirit. And there was a witch sitting in the hallway as I went in as well. I want you to know that. And that witch went with that young man's father. So I'm not talking nonsense. She went with the young man's father, and she was a known witch that she practiced witchcraft and other stuff. But I want to tell you something, where the Holy Spirit is, I don't care if there's a thousand witches. The Holy Ghost more powerful. God made the devil. The devil never made God. Amen. And I tell you one thing, God raised that young man up out of that bed. And he's living and well today. God done it. God is able to do it. John G. Lake said he was away in Africa and the Spirit came on him and he was interceding in the Spirit and he prayed for man dying over in England at the same time. He prayed in the Spirit and God done it. Don't just stand there, but get up and pray something. Amen. Pray something. Don't sit in the prayer meeting like a dummy, but pray something. Whether it's quiet, whether it's loud, be yourself. Refuse to be anything other than real. But pray to God. Thank the Lord he saved you and delivered you. And tell the devil you're not getting my children. I'm claiming them for the Lord. I'm putting the blood mark over them. Tell the devil. Hallelujah. Paul said, "Speak those things into being that are not as though they were. Believe them and they'll happen." Luke, the unbeliever has many defenses against our evangelistic efforts, hasn't he? He can refuse to attend church. He can refuse to listen when you preach to them. You can give him a track in the street and you throw it up in your face. He can refuse you to visit him in his home. And if you do visit him, he'll have the television on or somebody will not want to hear you. But there's one thing that that unbeliever cannot refuse. When you get alone with God and you begin to pray and you begin to lift him before the throne of God, God can move in that man. God can move in that woman. And God can touch her heart. And God can melt them. And God can change them, because God hears and God answers prayer. The affection, fervent prayer of a righteous man, the Bible says, availeth much. And we are righteous because of Romans chapter 4. For Jesus says he doesn't impute to us our sin, but he imputes to us his righteousness. The imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ is what we're working with tonight. It's superior to any priest in this earth. It's superior to any pastor or evangelist. It's superior to anything, because it is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, on whom death had no claim and sin had no claim, but he willingly stepped into death and challenged death and defeated both death, hell, and the grave, and rose on the third day, and he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. And he's touched tonight by the feeling of our infirmities. He's our high priest. He's touched by the feeling of your infirmities. Don't give up on it. It is what it is. What a lie. You know, that's a saying that everybody's using today. When something goes wrong and something happens, it is what I hate that. It is what it is. Well, it is not what it seems like. The Word of God said it's not what it seems like. For I will do a thing in those days that will make their ears tingle. That's what God said. I will work a work. And who'll let it? Who'll stop it? Hallelujah. I tell you, you can change the destiny what's happening by prayer. Intercessory prayer. God's people need to seek God. Hallelujah. There's been a lockdown, but there's been little prayer. But we need a lockdown of praying, of intercessory, of seeking God, of turning back to God like never before, and seeking the face of God for a move of God in this evil generation. We need God to move. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, the devil can't prevent the Lord Jesus from knocking at the heart's door. That's one thing he can. They can let on, they don't want to hear you. They can refuse a track. But when the Lord begins to knock on a man or on a woman's, my brother and sister this evening, you've bound to hear the testimony of men and women, and they come and sleep. Yet my own father, his father took him to the doctor. They didn't know what was wrong with him when he's a young man. The Spirit of God began to move on him and convict him. And he couldn't sleep. And he thought there's something wrong with him. And the doctor said, I can find nothing wrong with him. But it was a conviction of the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You ever heard the story about Ian Peasley told about the boy? He didn't want to get saved. He didn't want Peasley to come near him. But then eventually he called for him. He said I left him for 24 hours. The fellow said, why'd you leave him for 24 hours? He said, I wanted him to pickle in the conviction. I wanted him to really feel it. And he went in himself in the bed. He was in bed and the curtains locked. And I tell you, he was desperate to get saved. He didn't need nobody to tell him, put your hand up or crawl him up the front or carry him up on their back. He was glad to get saved. The Spirit of God moved them. You can tell people, raise a hand. I believe in that. If God's in it, God can do that. But I want to tell you, when the Spirit of God moves in a man and the Spirit of God moves in a woman, you'll not have to carry them to church. You'll not have to say they know how to get saved. They'll begin to cry out unto God for God. That's the truth. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. Prayer can change it. Prayer can do it. I tell you, we don't need more evangelistical meetings. We need more prayer meetings. That's what I believe tonight. The church needs to come back to prayer. Intercessory prayer. How many sermons have you heard preached in 2 years on intercessory prayer? How many preachers preach about it? How many preach about tongues? You'll never hear it mentioned hardly. But the Bible's full of it. You know, a man that was dying, he hadn't long to go, and he turned his face to God, and God gave him 18 more years because he prayed. That's the Bible. Amen. God's able to do that. Prayer changes things. We can do something now. We can do something. We can pray. We do not pray by default, because there's nothing else we can do. That's not why we pray. We pray because it is the best thing to do. People say, there's nothing else I can do. What can I do about it? There's a whole lot you can do. Pray. Don't ever think there's nothing you can do. The devil wants to tell you there's nothing you can do. The devil wants to give you the brainwashed phrase, it is what it is. Kick that out over the hedge. Change it. Amen. It is what it is. I tell you, Paul was on the road to Damascus. It is what it was, but God changed it. God changed it. The Lord Jesus came down in that pillar of fire, and he met him, and he delivered him. And you know what he done with him? He brought him into a place called Straight. Then he sent him to the man that was filled with the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. And he put his hands on him, and he prayed for him, and he got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He didn't just bring him to the cross and leave him there. You get to the cross, you're only getting started. Get to Pentecost there. Hallelujah. Acts 2:38, repent ye therefore every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What's the next verse say? 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to them that's afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. In fact, to John 17 he called them because he prayed for them. You know, I do it myself. I'm guilty of it. I worry nobody's getting saved and all these things, and you can do that, and the devil can bother you with that. But then when you look at the words of Jesus, Jesus says, none have I lost that thou hast given me. Every one that's going to come is going to come. That's the Bible. But he wants us to pray for them if we're going to be like the Lord. And he wants us to preach to them if we're going to be like the Lord. And he wants us to lay hands on them if we're going to be like the Lord. And that's what we're going to do by God's grace. I'm going to have to close because I want you to pray, but I would have read Luke 18. About the little widow and the unjust judge. And she kept coming. She wanted avenged. And the unjust judge wasn't avenging her, but she kept on coming. She just kept on coming. She tortured him. Amen. Now, it's not that God's an unjust judge. This is a parable of a truth to show someone great. I know our brother's laughing because I'm laughing. I'm thinking about it myself. Them two hairs getting pulled out. When Jack Cole told that story, he told the story about that unjust judge, and he said he was balding. And all his hair was gone, and he had maybe only a few strands left. And he said he tried alcohol on it, and he tried everything on it. And that wee woman, he heard her footsteps coming up the hall, and he was sick hearing her. She'd come that many times, he was sick of it, and he pulled out them last two hairs. And he said, I'll avenge you. Amen. God will avenge you. The Bible says God will avenge those that call upon him day and night. God wants us to pray in the morning. Don't ever leave your house without praying. I'm telling you, you might say it's a habit. It's a good one. Amen. Whether it's in your car, in your bedroom, you need to have a thing in place for you. Pray to the Lord before you move. I have a thing. You see, if I'm late, I'll pray longer. Because the devil wants you to rush on when you're late. But you're late anyhow, so you might as well take 5 minutes extra and just praise God. Amen. And you're not getting anything, because what about the rat race? What about it? They can't build the houses fast enough. They want to fence up yesterday. They want the driveway done yesterday. Everything's a rat race. Then when it's done, you can sit at home. Nothing for a while. It's a rat race. God never made it like that. I do not believe God made us to be like that. But that's the way the world is today. Everyone's running. They're running. They're running down a precipice. Brothers and sisters, we need to pray for our children, for aunts, for uncles, for people that's not saved. We need to pray them in. We need to stand up and pray something and tell the devil he's a liar. Praise God. Let's come and pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you this evening that we have open access right into the heavens of heavens by the new and living way through the precious blood of the Lamb of God. We thank you this evening that you do hear prayer and you do answer prayer. Lord, we know that your word says pray without ceasing. Pray always. In everything let your requests be known unto the Lord. Father, we worship you this evening. We praise you tonight. We thank you for your salvation. We thank you for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the nine gifts of the Spirit, for the fruits of the Spirit. Lord, we pray you'll bring us into a place of intercessory prayer as a church, as a people. Help us to pray for our children. Help us to pray for a lost and dying generation. Oh, Lord, this evening, move us with the Holy Ghost, I pray. Begin to move men. Begin to move women in this fellowship. Move men and women in our homes, oh, God. Move in our children. Move in the aunt. Move in the uncle. Move in the brother. Move in the sister. We claim them under the blood of Jesus Christ. We pray that you'll bind every work of the devil. Oh, Lord, and spoil his goods over their lives and over their homes. In the name of Jesus Christ. We welcome the Holy Spirit into these meetings. We welcome the Holy Spirit into our lives. Saturate our beings. From the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. Soak us with the Holy Spirit, I pray. Be that's in the Spirit. Baptize us with the Spirit. Let the Spirit come on us. Let it be in us. Let it be through us. But, oh God, move us, I pray, with the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' precious name. Cause the gifts of the Spirit to manifest in your people. Gifts of tongue, of healing, of miracles, of signs and wonders in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Lord, your disciples were persecuted, but your word says they prayed, and the place was shaken. Hallelujah. Lord, they said, stretch forth your arm, Lord Jesus, in the name of thy holy child, Jesus, with signs and wonders and miracles. And we pray it again tonight. Lord, we thank you for these words you're praying. Because of these words you're praying, we know they're going to come. Bring the son, bring the daughter, bring the wife, bring the husband, bring the aunt, bring the uncle. Oh God, move them. Move them, we pray, and bring them to thyself in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask you if you'll tarry to this weekend, that God, you'll come into this room in a mighty way, that your people will know your blessing, your presence, your manifested glory coming amongst us, coming upon us. Touch that brother, touch that sister, touch the boy, touch the girl. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And, oh Lord, get thyself all the praise and all the glory. Help us to glorify Jesus. Help us to lift you up in the pages of this book. Help us that you're the center of our preaching, the center of our prayers, the center of our thinking and our thoughts. We cast down all reasoning and all vain imagination, and we pray, let the mind of Christ be in every one of us. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, help and inspire men and women tonight to stand up and pray something. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.